I have my water today. Some of you know that I was not here last Sunday. This ongoing cough that I have been fighting for 3 months took a turn for the worse a little over a week ago. Went back to the doctor for the sixth time, and they gave me some more medicine of different kinds, and it seems to be doing the trick. However, I do have a cough drop right here, and I have my water bottle handy just in case. There is so much to learn. So much to learn about God, about Jesus, about the Bible. And on any given Sunday when you attend worship, or if you go to one of our small group Bible studies, you don't learn it all at once. It takes time. That's true of any subject. You don't learn how to play the piano with one lesson. You don't learn a foreign language with one lesson. You don't learn how to run a nuclear reactor with one lesson. It's a process. And every Sunday when I stand before you or our other pastors, we want you to learn so much. So today we're going to be looking at Jeremiah chapter 1. Excuse me. So if you'd like to turn there, the page numbers are on the back of your worship bulletin. But Jeremiah chapter 1. I have been a pastor for well over 40 years, and this is the first time that I have preached a sermon series through one of the major prophets, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah. So this is new to me. Excuse me. So, today and the next 5 weeks, we're going to be looking through the prophet Jeremiah. Are you ready? History is not boring. At least I don't think so. It is important. Even if you find it boring, it is important. And the history that we find in the Bible is very important. So, excuse me, we have been handing out a brief outline of Old Testament history as you came in today. If we missed you and you didn't get one, raise your hand and our ushers will bring one to you. Okay? I would encourage you to bring this back each week for the next 5 weeks as we study some Old Testament history and see what Jeremiah has to say to us. One side of that handout is called the Old Testament story. Excuse me. It gives you a very basic overview of the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the part of the Bible that happened before Jesus came. The New Testament is the part of the Bible that tells us about the life of Jesus and the history of the first generation of the church. And the New Testament also has some letters from the apostles. And those letters give us guidance for how to find Jesus, how to follow Jesus faithfully. The other side of the handout is the kings of Israel and Judah. God wanted to use the people of Israel to be a witness to the world. He wanted the people of Israel to reflect his glory to other people groups. The people of Israel failed over and over again. The people of Israel had been united under the first three kings, Saul, David, and Solomon. Then the kingdom was divided, and the northern kingdom was called Israel, and the southern kingdom was called Judah. God had warned the people over and over for centuries that if they turned away from him, he would punish them. And their punishment as a nation, their punishment would be to be taken captive by another world power. The northern kingdom strayed further and faster from God. And in 722 BC, they were overthrown by Assyria. The southern kingdom lasted longer, but they sinned and moved further and further away from God. God continued to send his prophets to warn the people, but they didn't listen. Sometimes patriotism blinds people. And this can be true of any country, not just the United States and not just Israel. But the people of Israel refused to believe they could be taken captive. And when God would send a prophet to warn them, they would persecute the prophet. And they persecuted them in different ways, a lot, and many of them ended up dying because the message that they were preaching to the people from God was not accepted by the people. They rejected it. Excuse me. Jeremiah was a prophet who lived during the last five kings of Judah. So if you're looking at that list of kings on the left-hand side, you can look down to number 16, the 16th king, and that king is Josiah. Jeremiah's ministry lasted from sometime during Josiah's reign until after the last king was gone. And his message to Judah was a message of judgment. And the people didn't want to hear it. And by the way, here's a little bit of a difference. For centuries, God had sent his prophets saying, if you sin and stray, you will be punished. Jeremiah's message was a step further. Jeremiah's message was, you have sinned, you are going to be punished. The if is gone. As a nation, you have rejected God for so long, so deep, so much sin, that God rejected them and sent another country to take them over at the end of the kings here in Judah. This is heavy stuff, by the way. So over the next few weeks, we'll see that Jeremiah not only prophesied judgment, he also prophesied about God's grace. But you have to look for it. Okay, but it's there. So in chapter 1 of Jeremiah, let's read verses 1 through 5. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah. And through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." So these verses tell us of Jeremiah's call from God to be a prophet. During the reign of King Josiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and God had a very specific ministry for Jeremiah, and it was going to be a very difficult ministry. And for those of you who are into theology, God's choosing and appointing is based on his foreknowledge. Some focus on verse 5 saying, the part that says, "I set you apart, I appointed you." But we often read right past the first part of the verse that says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Now, we have many translations of the Bible available in English, and many of them are very good and accurate translations. When we translate from one, when we translate a word from one language to another, each word has what is called a semantic range. Are you impressed? That means each word could be translated differently depending on the context. Some of you Spanish speakers use the Reina Valera translation. It's a good translation. Some of you use the Nueva Versión Internacional. It's a good translation. The Reina Valera translation reads literally, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." The Nueva Versión Internacional reads literally, "Before forming you in the womb, I had already chosen you." In this instance, the Reina Valera is the better translation. All of the major English translations read, "I knew you," not "I chose you." Biblical theology teaches the sovereignty of God. And that just basically means God is going to do what he wants to do. He's God. Okay? But I don't believe biblical theology teaches meticulous determination. God's choosing is based on his foreknowledge. That's seen in this verse. It's also seen in verses such as Romans 8:29. By the way, also that's verse 29, not 28. Romans 8:29. That says, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined," or chose. And 1 Peter 1:2 tells us, "It is according to the foreknowledge of God." See, those who are chosen are defined as those believing. Those actively believing in Christ for who he is and what he has done for us on the cross. So if you are actively believing in Jesus right now, really believing in him, believing that he is who he says he is, God in the flesh, the Savior, come to die on the cross for our sins, raised from the tomb the third day. If you are believing in that, Not just believing in your head, but knowing it so deep in your heart and trusting in it so deep in your heart that you're living your life according to that belief. You're banking it all on Jesus. If you are actively believing in Christ for who he is and what he's done for us on the cross, then you're chosen. Because it's based on God knowing that you would choose, that you would commit to him. So God knew that Jeremiah would respond to his call. And God is still calling people today. He calls all of us to believe in him, to confess our sin to him. He calls all of us to follow him faithfully. And he calls to some to ministry. And God calls us in different ways. It seems as though Jeremiah may have actually heard words from God. Some prophets were called that way. Other Old Testament prophets had visions and dreams. Sometimes it was simply a spiritual leading in the mind and the heart of an individual. And that seems to be the way God calls us today. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty certain that God called me to be a pastor. Now, you might be thinking, if he only knew. Maybe you question that, but I don't. I'm pretty certain about it. I didn't hear a verbal voice. Earlier in my life, I had committed to following Jesus. I had become very involved in a local church. And I felt like I couldn't do enough for God. I felt like I was missing something. And over time, I became increasingly convinced that God wanted me to be a pastor. So I followed that path. Whether or not God is calling you to a specific ministry or a place of service, well, that's up to you as you seek God's will and know that for yourself. I can't call you. I can tell you about Jesus. I can challenge you to follow him. I can encourage you to consider God leading you into various areas of ministry. And for some of you guys, I could challenge you to consider that God's calling you to be a pastor. But you've got to be the one to decide, is this where God is leading me? But I know that God is calling all of us to believe in him and to follow him. And how you respond to that call will ultimately affect your eternal destiny. Excuse me. In verses 6 through 10, we see that God enables those whom he calls. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. So Jeremiah responds with humility, right? God calls him to be a prophet. Jeremiah was probably about 20, late teens, early 20s. We're thinking, We don't have a birth certificate, so shooting in the dark here. Not in the dark. It's a very educated guess. It's not just shooting in the dark. Sorry about that. But Jeremiah responds with humility. I'm just a kid. I'm just young. I don't know how to be a prophet. Now that's humility and a recognition that without God's help, he's incapable of speaking on God's behalf. And Elsa, I don't know how this part's going to go. But you might be surprised how inadequate I feel as your pastor. I fail. I make mistakes. I forget stuff. I can be self-centered. I can be lazy. I'm pretty good at procrastinating. I've practiced a lot. I sin. There are times I stand up here and I honestly think, I don't have a clue why I'm here, Lord. Now I think, you know, I've studied, I'm ready to preach a sermon. But there are times I stand here and I just don't get it. How in the world can God use me to do what's happening here? From a human perspective, it makes no sense. But I am so glad that my ministry to you as your pastor is not dependent on my abilities. It's dependent on God's grace and presence. So remember, it's not the strength of our faith that saves us. It's the object of our faith, Jesus Christ, that saves us. And if you follow God's calling, and this, by the way, this is very important because I have many times had people tell me, listen so close here, I have many times had people tell me, just challenging people to accept Christ and follow him, I've had people tell me, I would be a Christian, but I can't do it. Those very words have been said to me many times. And my response is, join the club, because I can't do it either. I can't. Nobody can. Oh my goodness, if you could just, if you've not trusted in Christ and you're hesitant, like, I just don't know if I could do that. I just don't know if I could be that holy. I don't know if I can be faithful. I don't know if I can understand it all. I don't know. If you're saying that, and that's sort of hanging you up, stopping you from following Jesus, please listen to this next sentence. That is why we need a Savior. We can't do it ourselves. See, if we could do it ourselves, what would we need Jesus for? We can't. That's why he came. And if you follow God's calling, he will enable you as you go. So God says to Jeremiah, don't say you're a kid and use that as an excuse. You go where I send you. The emphasis is not on you. The emphasis is on God. It's about what God is doing in your life. So I'm going to pause after I read this because I want to give Elsa, who's translating through the headphones, I want to give her a chance to translate this with the same emphasis that I'm saying it now, okay? So here is the way to read verse 7 and 8. This is God talking to Jeremiah. Jeremiah has said, I can't do this. Too young, don't get it. And here's what God says to Jeremiah. And here's how you need to read this. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. You see the emphasis? It's not about, oh, I have to do this, this, and this. It's God is leading me. So where he leads, I'll follow. You see, you understand that? In verses 9 and 10, God reaches out and touches Jeremiah's mouth. And he puts his words in Jeremiah's mouth. Now, that's a figure of speech. Okay, he didn't really have a bunch of words on a piece of paper cut up and he just stuck them in Jeremiah's mouth. It's a figure of speech. It's God's way of saying, Jeremiah, I am enabling you. I got your back. I'm calling you. I, God Almighty, am calling you. Don't worry, I'll enable you. I've shared this some in the past. I don't know if you remember or heard, but when I was dating Pam, I was so shy. Well, before I started dating Pam, I wasn't dating Pam because I was so shy. I wouldn't ask her out on a date. And I love telling this story. I'm going to give you the really short version. But thanks to an Italian lady named Rose An Italian lady named Rosie Cozy. Pam and I were working at the same McDonald's on Oakton Avenue in Des Plaines, number 1000. They number the stores. And through a series of events, long story, basically, I ended up cooking the hamburgers and the Big Macs, and she was cooking the quarter pounders. And she's there, and I'm here. And I noticed her. I knew she was there, and I was thrilled. But I was so shy. I was incapable of uttering the words, would you like to go on a date? I'm being honest. And Rosie would come by every day and try to play matchmaker. It's my imitation of Rosie. I don't know how. How do you translate my English into Spanish with an Italian accent? So those of you listening in headphones, let me know how Elsa does here, okay? Every day, I am not exaggerating, every day, several times a day, Rosie would walk by. She worked up in the cash register and with the French fries and stuff, and she would come by, and she would stop and see me and Pam, and she would look at me and said, "So David, when are you going to ask this girl out?" Which you would think would enable me to say, "Hey, Pam, you want to go out?" I couldn't do it. I was so shy. I'm not exaggerating. Ask her. Talk to, after the service, say, "Hey, this Rosie Cozy thing, is that true?" This went on for a few months. And I really did. I was attracted to her. I thought she was pretty. I thought she was smart. I thought, yeah, I'd like to. You're good, Rosie. Keep going, you know. And one day, Rosie walked by and did her thing. "David, when are you going to ask it as a girl?" And honest to goodness, this happened. I remember it so clearly. Something came over me, and I turned to Pam, and this gentleman, This is not the way to ask a girl on a date. I turned to Pam and said, we're going to have to do something or Rosie's never going to leave us alone. Which is almost like a slap in the face ask, right? I mean, I don't really want to do this, but we'll just do it to appease Rosie, you know. But thank goodness Pam just looked at me and said, okay. When I felt called into the ministry, I said a lot of what Jeremiah said. Look how shy I am. What are you calling me into the ministry for? How am I going to stand up in front of people? I can't even ask a girl for a date. But where God leads you, He will be with you. He will enable you. I'm back to my notes. So, some people may think that I just get up here on Sunday and say whatever I want to. And there may be some pastors that do that, but I'm not one of them. Through the week, I pray, I read God's word, I study. I do my best to tell you what God is saying. Not what I want to say. I'm not in charge of what God wants me to say. In verses 11 through 19, we see that God is with those whom he calls. Now, this is different from God enabling those he calls. God is with those he calls. We won't read all of these verses, but God uses two object lessons. Sort of like Tommy does when he preaches. He brings props up here and does stuff. God uses two object lessons. The first is the branch of an almond tree. And it doesn't make as much sense to us as it did Jeremiah. But God explained that this branch, this almond tree, means that God is watching. And what he promises, he will make it happen. The second object lesson is that of a boiling pot. And this object lesson means that God will bring terror on Judah from the north. The pot was tilting toward the north. So scholars have studied this stuff, and this is in that culture how people would have understood these things. And then God says in verses 17 through 19, okay, so, quick recap here. First few verses, God calls Jeremiah. Next few verses, Jeremiah says, I can't do this. Next few verses, God says, don't worry, I'll enable you to do it. I know you can't, but I got your back. Then he gives those two object lessons because the message that Jeremiah was preaching was one of judgment, remember? Jeremiah knew it was going to be hard. And he gives these object lessons to encourage Jeremiah, to point out to Jeremiah, this is my message. I'm with you as you tell these things. And then in verses 17 through 19, God says to Jeremiah, get yourself ready. Stand up. And say to them, whatever I command you, do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you, Jeremiah, I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah and its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. God assures Jeremiah that he'll be with him. I've made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall to stand against the whole land. That's sort of what I'd like to end up looking like after I go to Planet Fitness. I'd love to be an iron pillar. Let's be honest. It's not happening yet, right? When God is with us, we can stand against whatever we face. As we trust in Him, lean on Him, keep our identity in Him. Now, verse 19 makes it clear it'll be hard. There'll be opposition. But God assures Jeremiah that He is with him and He will rescue him. Ah, but we may misunderstand what rescue means. We think rescue means prevent. I'll prevent you from problems, from trouble. If I rescue you from drowning, that doesn't mean that I keep you out of the water. Doesn't mean you won't get wet. It doesn't even mean that, yeah, you'll get wet, but it's no big deal. You won't feel in danger at all. No. It means that you're in the water. And it's deep water, and you're sinking, and you're gasping for breath, wondering if you're going to make it, wondering, will anyone save me? Is there any hope? That's what happens when you're drowning, right? So with Jeremiah and with us, God is telling us that He'll rescue us. That doesn't mean we'll never be in danger. It doesn't mean follow Jesus and life will be easy. No, He's being clear. There's difficulty in following Jesus. You will not only feel in danger, you may very well be in danger. It might even cost your life. So the first Sunday of the month, we pray for our missionaries. That's why these flags are here. And we often think of our brothers and sisters in Cuba. That's why that flag is there. This banner represents Christians that are persecuted around the world because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And every month I get a small magazine, and it tells of true stories of Christians being persecuted in these places. And ever so often, the true story is these Christians were murdered. These Christians were beheaded. These Christians in this country, they came and burned their village down, and now they're homeless. And they're on the run for their lives. See, God doesn't rescue us from it. He rescues us through it. During the trial, during the danger, God is with us through it. And the ultimate rescue is to be with Him. God is still calling people to ministry today. He's still calling today. He's still calling us. He does call some to be pastors. And by the way, I'm being more intentional about this because some of the young guys in here, God may well tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, I want you to be a pastor. I mean, I'm 65. I only got, 30, 40 years left? Let's be realistic. And Tommy and Manolito and Dustin are younger than I am, but they're not youths. Who's next? And he is calling everyone, everyone, everyone to repentance. He's calling everyone to follow him faithfully. He's calling some to specific roles and places. If you don't believe that, seriously, you need to call Dustin and Sarah this week and say, when can you tell me your story? You need to call Tommy and Christine and say, when can you tell me your story? Both of those families felt very specifically called here. He's calling you first to repentance. You're not a Christian. You really don't need to be a pastor. He's calling all of us to believe in him, to confess our sin to him, to trust in him. And he's calling some of you for the next step. What is it? The question is not, is God calling? The question is, are you listening? Are you committed to him? Jeremiah was called to speak for God during a very chaotic time in the nation of Israel. I think it would be accurate to say that we're living in a very chaotic time in the United States. God's desire for us to follow him is not based on the circumstances around us. God's desire for us is to follow him based on his love for us. His desire is that none should perish, that all should come to repentance. Worship team's going to come up. And again, every Sunday I'm just amazed at how well the songs and the scripture reading fit with the sermon. And you can go back on our YouTube channel and watch this service again. And I would encourage you to go back after hearing this sermon, to go back and listen to the songs that we already sang. Pay attention now to the ones we're going to sing. And just ask yourself, how does this all fit together? God's using all of this to call you. He is. He's speaking to you. He is speaking to you. It's what he sent me here to do. I'm talking on his behalf. I really am. This is his word. He is speaking to you. The question is, are you listening? And for those of us who have not, listen. Believe in him. Trust in him. And for those of us who have listened and we have believed in him, we've confessed our sin to him, we're following him, be faithful. Even when it's hard, God's with you. He's got your back. Even if I'm persecuted for Jesus, even if I'm killed for his name, I just get to see Jesus quicker. Now, I'm not being flippant about that. Death is hard. We know that. This last year's been a hard one at Northwest, right? But I'm convinced that when we stand before our King in eternity, we're honestly, if we're capable of thinking in this direction, we're honestly going to think, why was I trying to hang on to this messed up world when now I'm in eternity with my Savior? But it starts with hearing him now, following him right now. So as I pray, perhaps you could pray in your own words, in your own heart. You just got to mean it. You can quote me word for word, but if you don't mean it, it doesn't do anything. You got to mean it. And if you're thinking, you know what, I've been around church a lot. I understand a lot of it. I like it. But I've never really made that step of faith. If you want to, that's God talking to you. He's putting the want to in you, by the way. We don't seek him on our own. He pulls us to him. He draws us to him. He convicts us of our sin. He helps us see our need for a Savior, that we can't rescue ourselves. So if you mean it, if you don't pray it. But if you mean it, it's as simple as a prayer, something like this. Let's pray. God, I'm realizing I can't rescue myself. I'm realizing I'm messed up. I'm realizing I need a Savior. Thank you for showing me that. So God, forgive me. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my failures, my weaknesses. Forgive me of all my stuff, all my mess. Because I want to follow you. I believe in you. I believe, Jesus, that you are the Son of God, God in the flesh. Come into the world to live for me and to die for me on that cross. And to rise from the tomb to show that you overcame death on my behalf. So I'm no longer trusting in myself to save myself. I can't. I'm trusting in you to be my forgiver, my rescuer, my Savior, my King, the one to whom I now pledge allegiance. And God, I know I'm going to follow you imperfectly. But I'm believing that you're going to enable me. You're going to help me. And when I mess up, help me to just hang on to you all the tighter. I'm yours, Lord. Help me. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. And what we do here every week is a bunch of us imperfect people, moral failures, sinners, all of us. We trust in Jesus, and we come together and we worship him, and we try to help each other make it through another week. You're not alone. Be one of us. Let's follow him together. Let's sing.